Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Music and Ministry Podcast. Well, hey, this is Stephen Reed. We thank you for joining us today. We are going to begin discussing how to get your church to participate in worship, to actually lead them to worship. And I know that's our job title, right? Worship leader. But for anyone who has done that for any amount of time, you know what it's like to look out in the congregation and just see a lot of empty seats, folded arms, and blank expressions staring you down. And I've talked to so many worship leaders across the country who are just like, I'm doing everything I can, but all I hear is crickets as I'm trying to do everything that I've seen, and nothing seems to be working. And for all of us here at Music and Ministry, we completely understand that frustration and the angst and really the panic that can come along with trying to figure out what to do. And so for myself, I've traveled to now, almost countless number of churches and denominational gatherings, and I've seen a lot of different methods to address this issue. And so really, if you were to put them into groups and could put on the far side of one scale, some people have actually given up, really deeming it impossible to even get people to participate at all in a worship service. And thus have been taught, and I quote, that getting people to participate is not the job of the worship team. They are told to worship, and if anyone wants to join in, then great. And really the hope is that something in the atmosphere will touch them and will keep them coming, and eventually they will learn to enter into worship. So their method of leadership is really limited to attraction. Just get people to come. Now, on the other side of the spectrum are the people that are doing whatever they can think of to get people to participate, to the point that they are actually chasing people away. Usually this involves some sort of yelling or guilt trip. And in case of some churches, it's actually handing out shakers and noisemakers to the congregation to try and keep them involved. And as you can imagine, the sound of a multitude of non-musicians playing whatever they want, that kind of creates a hostile environment for people wanting to participate, and certainly musicians attending that church. But, if you want to be a church of noisemakers, and we have certainly met some churches that are and want to be, go for it. But for those of you that are just doing it to try and keep people engaged, there are some better ways. So I don't know where you fall in the spectrum of how to approach this issue, but we are going to spend some time today and in future episodes giving you some practical steps and tools to lead people to worship, because it is possible and it's easily done if you know what to do. And I only know this because I have learned the hard way. I have led worship for decades and would have said I was pretty good at it in a very humble kind of way. That was until I started traveling as a worship leader. And it was a very stark, eye-opening, humiliating, humbling moment to realize that in all the places I was leading worship, nobody knew me. And they didn't know any of these songs like they did back home. And so what I came to realize is that most worship leaders have the advantage of history. And what I mean by that is you don't have to introduce yourself, because most people know who you are as you are the worship leader, and so they'll follow you without question. You also probably sang most of the songs that you're doing today in previous weeks, so they're at least familiar with some of them. So when you're stripped of those things, you discover a need for developing tools to win in the here and now, and not just over time. Because for the traveling guy, that's all you have. All you have is now. And I'm not going to be there next week. And if this doesn't go well, I'm not ever going to be back. So I have to get you to follow me and then lead you well quickly. And it's really from both of these times in my life, the week in and week out serving the same church and in the traveling ministry days, that I can say with surety that it is possible to lead people to a meaningful encounter with the Lord quickly and with excellence. So the first overall broad stroke, 10,000 foot view observation I can give you is that almost all worship leaders lead worship like everyone knows what to do. Now write that down and think about it, pray about it. Almost all worship leaders lead worship like everyone knows what to do. So let me illustrate that with a story from back when I was a youth pastor in Colorado. Now, while youth pastor, I organized several skiing trips, including a skiing camp where parents paid me money to take their precious darling children up to high elevations, strap slippery sticks to their feet to slide down a mountain of snow and ice. And each trip really went about the same. We arranged transportation to the ski resort, and as the kids exited the bus, I would say this. I'd say, have fun, stay in groups, listen to the Holy Ghost, and be back here at 4 o'clock. And really, that was about it. I would go off and ski, or I would sit in the lodge without worry or care. Now, for those of our listeners who already know how to ski, that probably sounds about right. But to the vast majority of you who don't ski, that scenario doesn't scream great leadership. That's because you don't know the first thing about skiing. Where do I get skis? How do I get a lift ticket? How do you walk to the lift in ski boots? What do I do when I get to the top? How do I not fall down or run into trees? And what do I do if I need to go to the bathroom? Which is all super easy stuff to do if you know what to do, but really funny to watch if you don't know what to do in those circumstances. So really what I'm trying to get you to see here is how differently you would approach leading a group of people who knew how to do something versus a group of people who did not know how to do something. For the group that knows how, all I had to do was show up and provide transportation. Go have fun. We'll see you back here at 4 o'clock and then look for anyone who didn't show up at 4 o'clock. But if you didn't know how to ski, I would have to take you from place to place and explain to you how to put on your ski boots, how to walk uphill on your ski boots, how to walk downstairs in your ski boots. It would just be a very different kind of leadership based on what you know and didn't know. So think about that when it comes to your congregation. How many people in your congregation or percentage would you say know how to worship? How many of have ever had anything explained to them about what they're supposed to do or be sensing? Now, hopefully you're realizing that that number is a whole lot less than we'd like it to be. And that's really the first hurdle here, which is most people lead worship like people know how to worship. And I'm going to add something this time and say, like we do. Most every leader leads like everyone else is at about the same level, that they understand that they're the same kind of people. And they're actually not. So let me give you just some practical examples, right? You're on a worship team. Thus, at some point, you had an encounter with the Lord through worship that made you want to devote a portion, if not all of your life, to providing the same opportunities to others. Many of the people in your congregation probably have not had that same experience, right? You're on a worship team, right? Thus, you like making music. Most of you probably like to sing. How much of your congregation is the same? Because most people are actually terrified of singing in public. All right, you're on a worship team. You probably listen to worship music outside of church, and most everyone else that you're leading does not. You know who Hillsong is. People don't have a clue. You attend church every week. Most everybody else does not. And sometimes we don't even notice that people are different because we only hang out with the people that are like us. And there is a group of people that are just like you, people who love the Lord, who know what worship can do, have a high capacity for music, and have gotten over the fear of singing in public. Now, I'm going to say that this is most likely 10 to 20% of your congregation and might include all or none of your church leadership. I know that some of you are checking in your mind right now of whether or not this is true and who is in what group, but I'm going to challenge you over the next few weeks, just take that terrifying look out into the crowd and see who is participating and who is not participating, rather than just looking to see if people are participating. And I know that is like terribly distracting when you go and just look out and see people not worshiping. So if you need to set up a camera, but you need to know, you need to look, because what will happen is you'll see the pattern of what is really the primary source of the problem, is that we are only successfully leading the people who are exactly like us. I know that's a lot to take in, and I could go on, and will go on in future episodes, but just let that rattle your thinking this week as you spend some time discovering really what kind of leadership your people need from you. Do they need you to just show up in the bus and say, hey, come on, let's worship? Or do they need you to hold their hand a little bit until they get going? Well, hey, that's all the time we have for today. I look forward to discussing this in the future. If you have any questions or comments or things that you'd like to know, feel free to email us at musicandministryconference@gmail.com. You can also check out some other articles we've written on this subject at musicandministry.co. Well, until next time, God bless.